And welcome to Small Town Mysteries, a show where three longtime friends from Massachusetts tell crazy and heartbreaking true stories, filled with the extra flair of small town mystery. I'm Kate, here with Christine.
Hello.
And Rachel.
Hello.
Bringing you our next episode on Erin Marie Gilbert. But before we get into that, I'm going to toss it over to myself, who will be covering this week's missing person. This week, I'm highlighting Liam Biren, who was last seen in northern Italy on May 9th, 2019. So this is an international missing person. Daniel is 5'8", with brown hair and brown eyes. He has a muscular build and is an American white male with a large gap between his two front teeth. When I post the picture, I will have an age progression of him over the past 5 years. Liam has lived in Jefferson, Louisiana, and worked in New Orleans, Louisiana. Has spent time in New York, and was at the time of his disappearance living with family in Marlborough, New Jersey. He is a wine connoisseur, so Liam left the U.S. on April 8th to visit family in Israel and then flew to Italy's wine country, and then to visit France. He was traveling alone. He was scheduled to take a flight from Paris back to the U.S. on May 16th, but never boarded that flight. His last known activity was when a credit card was used to purchase a train ticket from Turin, Italy to the Aosta Valley, Italy, I think I pronounced that correctly. Liam had become friendly with multiple other travelers in various hostels, so there were some sightings of him. His personal belongings were found in a remote location of the Aosta Valley, but no one has heard or seen from him since then. So if you have any information concerning Liam's whereabouts, please contact your local FBI office or the American Embassy nearest to you. And the field office handling this is the Newark field office, like I said. I'll have those pictures up on @SmallTownMysteriesPod on Instagram. So we'll have recent photos of Liam, as well as the 5 year age progressed photos with him with and without a beard. So if we have any international listeners, check that out. See if maybe you think you've seen Liam in his hopefully continuing travels. All right, tossing it over to Christine for the bulk of the episode.
Christine, is that an espresso drink? As I said that, she just like quickly lowers it out of screen like it was never there.
So for context, for anyone listening to this, we are recording at 8:19 p.m. on a Thursday, and Christine is drinking espresso.
You know what? I feel judged. It is an espresso drink, but sometimes it's needed.
I'm judging. You should feel judged.
Do you have something to do after this?
Yeah, like what?
Yes, actually.
Oh, okay. My caffeine cutoff is like 5 p.m. Also, before we get into this episode, I know I said I passed it over to Christine, but I do want to say we are doing a 100th episode celebration for our next episode. So we want to know your favorite moments from our first 100 episodes. And if there are any questions you'd like to ask us about specific cases, let us know. We'll do like a Q&A. So we'll have some space for questions, and we're going to do superlatives. So we're going to do our like favorite episodes, our most best performing episodes, and we'll have some really fun ones. So stay tuned for that next week. Like I said, I'm going to post multiple times in the Instagram story. So @SmallTownMysteriesPod, check that out. Send in your questions. And if you happen to check and I haven't posted a story, just DM us. That is also acceptable. You will make it into the episode, I promise. Housekeeping out of the way. I'm passing it to Christine now. Go ahead, Christine.
Okay. This is the first Alaska case.
Woohoo! I love that you are covering Alaska.
I'm surprised it's our first one from Alaska because of the record it has with these sort of things.
Yeah, for how many people go missing.
Yeah, well, and also the fact that so much of it is wilderness, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be talking about the 1995 disappearance of Erin Marie Gilbert. Erin was a 24-year-old San Francisco native who had recently moved to Anchorage, Alaska, where she had been living with her sister and working as a nanny. When Erin disappeared, she was on a first date with a man named David Combs, whom she had met at a bar several days prior.
Okay. First date, that's not an auspicious start.
Yeah.
Doesn't particularly bode well.
Mm-mm. No, and I feel like it's something you hear a lot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So obviously Anchorage, Alaska is a large city, the largest in terms of population in Alaska. But she did vanish while attending the Girdwood Forest Fair, located in Girdwood, Alaska. Girdwood is a resort town that is almost 40 miles from Anchorage with a population of about 2,000. It was initially its own like town slash village. Then it was a city for a brief minute, and then it just kind of merged into the municipality of Anchorage. So from my understanding, it would be like Greater Boston, one of those kind of places.
Okay.
Erin moved to Anchorage, like I said, in 1994 and lived with her older sister, Stephanie, and she also lived with her brother-in-law at the Elmendorf Air Force Base. Her older sister did have a four-year-old child at the time of Erin's disappearance. She did nanny for a family who her sister was familiar with, who she was like acquaintances with. Erin had big dreams to eventually become a writer, and she was planning on attending cosmetology school. She was tall, almost 6 feet tall, and she enjoyed playing basketball. She also had a love for reading and running, and those who had the privilege to know her described her as being both very kind and confident, which I think are two amazing qualities to have, especially together. On July 1st, 1995, Erin was excited to go on a first date with David Combs, whom she had met several days prior at a bar named Chilcoot Charlie's. This is apparently like the bar to be at in that sort of area. Still up and running today. It is known by a different name, but it's like quintessential Alaska bar hotspot. They hit it off and they decided to go to the Girdwood Forest Fair. They both left Anchorage at around 4 p.m.
Wait, so did they meet there?
He picked her up at her sister's place where she was living. So they got a chance to like meet him briefly. And then from that, like he took her to the fair. So they got there at 4 p.m. Later, Erin's sister, Stephanie, did remember that her four-year-old told Erin like, oh, you should take your cell phone or should take a cell phone. Which I was like, when I initially read about this case, I was like, cell phones weren't really a thing back then in the early-ish mid-90s. But I guess they were. It was just like the really shitty type of cell phones.
It was like the really bulky ones with antennas.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely the era where if you had one, you didn't necessarily bring it with you anywhere.
Yeah.
Because it was like cumbersome, which is why her niece would be like, you should bring it, because she probably wouldn't normally.
Right. The last time Erin was seen was at the fair's beer garden with Combs before they had left, which was around 6 p.m. So apparently they had only stayed there for a couple hours. At the time of her disappearance, Erin was wearing a black leather jacket, a black and white shirt, mountain boots, and black jeans. As for Combs' account of what happened that night, he says that they had returned to his car but discovered that his battery was dead due to him leaving his headlights on. Combs told Erin that he was going to a nearby friend's house to get help, and he walked around for about 2 hours, but was unable to find his friend's residence. He says that when he finally got back to the car, Erin was nowhere to be found.
I just don't get that. I have a lot of questions.
I don't believe that.
Right. It feels convenient and not believable. Like, how nearby is it if it takes you 2 hours to get there and also you don't actually know where it is?
Also, like, why would you leave her by herself? Like, I still feel like it would be better to go together.
Yeah, why couldn't you go with him?
Don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, I had the same questions, basically. Like, he said it was nearby, but he walked around for 2 hours. He couldn't find the friend's house, like you said, Kate. And then, like, they had just come from the fair where there were a bunch of people there. Like, no one from the fair could help or, like, get in contact with anyone. There were probably at least several people at the fair that had a phone or someone that could help them. Like, wouldn't it just make more sense to go there instead of trying to find this friend's house that you apparently don't really know that well? I don't know.
The only argument I could even, like, potentially make is I just feel like men don't like to ask for help or directions.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's a like a 100% bulletproof. And, yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I've definitely been around some men in my life. I'm not going to name any names.
Is it your husband?
No. No, it's actually not.
Oh, okay. I don't mean to like throw strays at Alex. I just just thought that was who you were referencing, but
well, like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna, sorry, my dad, like growing up, he would never like ask for directions. Like he'd rather drive around hours.
So again, we're kind of still on Combs's version of details. According to him, when he did not initially find Erin waiting by his car, he just assumed that she had gone back to the fair. He started his car because he found out that it actually was able to start all of a sudden, and he returned to the fairgrounds to look for her. He looked for Erin until about 1 a.m., so for about 3 hours. He did call Erin's family the morning after the fair at 7 a.m. to ask if she had gotten home safely. Stephanie later noted that Combs had seemed nonchalant during the phone call. Stephanie and her family grew concerned due to the fact that Erin was not home, and they went and searched the Girdwood Forest Fairgrounds that morning, July 2nd, as well as the surrounding woods. After Erin's family did not find any trace of her, they reported her missing to the police. Alaska state troopers were unsuccessful in recovering any sign of Erin, despite organizing a large search utilizing helicopters and search dogs. So in 2017, a police lieutenant commented, "We don't know for sure what happened, if this was foul play or not. We just don't know. We don't have any witnesses. We don't have any human remains. We don't have a crime scene. We don't have much of anything, so it's going to be very hard. But like I said, somebody knows something." At this time, a $35,000 reward was offered by Gilbert's family for information regarding her disappearance. During this time, Combs had been refusing to speak to the press when contacted. Erin's sister, Stephanie Juarez, continues to look for answers through a Facebook page named Finding Erin Marie Gilbert. Stephanie commented regarding the page, "It's been a great outlet to share Erin's story, to keep her face and name out in the world. We don't think she's alive, but she deserves justice." Stephanie currently lives outside the state of Alaska, although she travels back and forth to raise awareness for her missing sister with flyers. At the time of her disappearance, Erin was described as 5'11", 145 pounds, with brown hair and hazel eyes. She would be 48 years old today. Anyone with information about Erin's case is asked to call the Alaska State Troopers at 907-428-7200 or Lieutenant McFerrin at 907-269-5611. And that is my case. Really fast, but I think an important one, because I do think stuff like this happens all the time. I don't know if Combs obviously had anything to do with it. Maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe she was met with foul play by someone else who saw her alone. She was vulnerable, but it's stuff like this happens all the time. Like, who knows? Maybe she refused him in some way, like wasn't feeling the date, and he decided to act out. Like, I feel like that's something that we see all the time.
Not uncommon.
It could have even been somebody else at the fair came up to her while she was alone, and she refused advances, and that person got angry. Like, that could have also happened.
Right. This is one of those cases that has so many unanswered questions. I think Christine did a really good job of summarizing that with, like, there's no crime scene. There's no DNA evidence. There's no body. Like, there's nothing on this case. This is quite literally someone who just poof, vanished. And those are some of the hardest cases to cover, because you want to give more credence to this person's life and their story, and there's just not enough info to do that. It's like, you know, like we just don't know. We want to provide the information that we can and hope that even all these years later someone can be found, but there's just no information.
Yeah, but of course at the end of the day, they deserve the justice and to have their story told. And I also do feel like we've already said this is way too common. And like, I don't want to take that away from Erin. But the thing is, it definitely happens so much. And like, I don't feel like it's really talked about enough. Women go missing a lot in Alaska.
They sure do.
And like, that's a whole nother thing to put on top of this too.
I mostly like saw a lot of stuff from her sister. I know her sister has talked to some podcasts. She definitely is like trying to keep her sister's name alive, her story alive. She just wants answers. And there is at least one person who might still be alive, who knows what happened, if not more, if that person has talked about it. So, you know, she still has hope, but it's obviously hard when there's, like Kate said, nothing that's really there physically.
I always think on the optimistic side of how many people were at that fair that night,
mm-hmm.
who probably have no idea that someone went missing. You know, they may not know about this case. I know there was a very concentrated search effort with a lot of people involved. That doesn't necessarily mean everyone who was there that night knew that something happened. And I just very optimistically like to think that someone witnessed something that they didn't realize was relevant.
Right.
And that at some point, whether it's our podcast or any other coverage of this case, they hear and say, wait, I was there that night. Mm-hmm. I went to that fair, you know, and then they look into it and maybe they look at the dates and they go, oh, wait, you know, I saw, you know, like, and maybe they saw something, anything that could be a break in the case. I really optimistically like to think about that, like, mysterious someone who knows something, who can break this case.
Yeah, I think that's, like, another thing that makes it, like, frustrating that there isn't as much information is because there were so many people there that obviously, like, we could not know this stuff, but from what the police say, it seems like there's really not much of witnesses or anything. But it's just like no one noticed anything or saw anything. It just, how long were they actually there? Like, what happened in those hours?
Mm-hmm. I feel like it also makes me think about, like, what if I've seen something that, like, I didn't realize was something, like, malicious or terrible or, I don't know. Because the thing is, at a fair, like, things are crazy. Like, there's lights everywhere. It's loud. There's children screaming. Like,
right.
There's just so many different stimuli all around.
All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. And thank you, Christine, for your careful research, as always. We'll have some information on Erin up on our Instagram account the night before this episode drops. So we'll have pictures of her for anyone who lives in that Alaska area still, maybe wants to check out and see. Maybe they were there that night. And we will also have our missing person, Liam, posted the day this episode comes out as well. So please check our Instagram at Small Town Mysteries Pod if you live in either Northern Italy or Alaska, two very distinct locales this episode, to see if maybe you've encountered either of these people. And we look forward to hearing from you guys on what you want us to talk about for our 100 episode roundup. Any questions you guys have, questions on what cases we like, our favorite cases to cover, least favorite cases to cover, anything, hit us up Q&A style in the DMs, or I'll post on Instagram. You can reply there. All right. Thanks for tuning in.
Come sparrow with us next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Ooh, we all ended perfectly.
On my end, Rachel's cut out. So she was like, bye. So I was like, that wasn't very good. And then you were like, that was a good one. I was like, yeah, you can say whatever you say.